Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Pam Farrell. Now, did I pronounce that last name correct?
That's right, Pam Farrell.
Pam Farrell. And Pam Farrell, our listeners probably would like to, maybe even while they're listening, go to your website. So can you share that with us?
Sure. Our ministry is Love Wise. So it's love-wise, the intersection of love and wisdom. I think that's what this society needs, a little bit more wisdom in their loving.
So love-wise.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go there right now if you want to check it out. Just don't leave us here. So I was so excited about this interview because you're most famous for the book titled Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. And you're also an international speaker and an author of 30 other books, and we'll try to cover some of those. Your husband and yourself, Bill
right.
and Pam Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been happily married for 33 years, and you are the parents to three children.
That's right.
And do you have any grandchildren?
We do. Our oldest son, Brock, is married to Hannah, and have three beautiful grandchildren. They've been married happily for 8 years now.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, let's first talk about Men Are Like Waffles and Women Are Like Spaghetti. So just in the
right.
title, there's probably a lot of explanation that I know I would like. What makes a man like a waffle and what makes a woman like spaghetti?
Right. Well, social scientists have said for a long time that men compartmentalize and women integrate, but nobody really talks like that. And so if you look at what testosterone does in a guy's mind, the way a man is wired by God is it looks a lot like the top of a waffle. There are compartments separated by walls, and men put one issue in every compartment. So they think of one thing and one thing only at a time. So when a man is at work, he's at work. And when he's mowing the lawn, he's mowing the lawn. And when he's in the garage, he's in the garage. And when he's watching TV, oh yeah, watching TV. So they think of one thing and one thing only at a time. So compartmentalizing, which is awesome. If you think about compartmentalizing at its premium, maybe 9/11, you know, the Twin Towers were falling. And Mayor Giuliani, he had friends that were perishing in those Twin Towers. But he shut down his emotions. He shut down his own grief to run through the streets of New York to fire off directives to save thousands of lives. And that's compartmentalizing at its premium. Because the thing that we women, according to statistics, say that we like the best about the opposite gender is they have the ability to shut down their emotions and handle a crisis, especially if it's our crisis, yeah, that they're helping to handle. So men think of one thing and one thing only at a time. They are problem solvers by nature.
So it's a positive thing to be able to departmentalize, mm-hmm. but what's the downside to this?
Yeah, they think of one thing and one thing only at a time. That's right. That's right. And so because they're problem solvers by nature, they like to go into a box, figure out what the problem is, assign a solution, and then move on. And if they get in a box and they see what the problem is, but they don't know the solution, oh yeah, they just move on. Like, why spend time there if you don't know the answer? And probably the thing that's helped the most women, though, understand the differences between men and women is that some of the boxes on every guy's waffle are absolutely positively blank. There are no words. There are no phrases.
Yes.
Yeah. They park in these boxes, especially when they're stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And we women, when they're in their blank box, it's kind of like dead airspace. We get radar.
Yeah. Well, do you ever think that they're just not as smart as I am? They don't have anything going on.
Well, a lot of times we do. We misunderstand them, and we get like radar, and we're like, "Well, what are you really thinking?"
Yeah.
Well, what they're really thinking right then is nothing, and it really is true. And there's even studies that have come out that say that men can think nothing, and you know, God created each one of our genders the way that they are, and it is looking for the value in the opposite gender. A lot of times I wish I had a nothing box. I wish I could just debrief for a few moments and not think of everything and everything else on top of it. Which that kind of brings us to how our minds are wired as spaghetti. Yeah.
So a woman's mind, I mean, I know I have a very hard time turning off my mind. Mm-hmm. I have no empty boxes to go to.
Right.
I have to go actually to somebody else's empty box, like, you know, just the monotone, someone talking.
Some music playing, something. Yeah. We women, we integrate life. And so that means everything in our life touches everything else. And that's why when you look at estrogen and how God wired us, it's much like our minds are much like one noodle laying on a plate of spaghetti. And if we follow that noodle around that plate, it looks like we're touching every other noodle on the plate. And that's the way women process life, is we travel through life making emotional connections to the people and things that matter most to us. And so by nature, we're really great at multitasking. I mean, we can be on the phone with a friend, her life's all falling apart, we're listening to your radio program, we're like, you should tune in because this will really help you and the kids. At the same time, we're writing our Christmas card list and our grocery list and our to-do list for our husband and our six kids. As we're telling the kids in sign language, I'm on the phone, leave me alone. And we have a load in the washer, in the dryer, we're cooking dinner, and we can open and shut the oven door with our foot. Woohoo! We're amazing multitaskers. Yeah. And that's a gift to the family, to the church, to the community. And so that multitasking thing is definitely helpful to lots of moms, especially out there. And but the downside, again, we each have one that we have to watch out for, is because we can multitask, we try to like do everything all at once, especially in the area of communication. It can become a little bit frustrating to our husband, men in our world. You know, if we walk in and say something to our husband like, oh, honey, you know, the other day I was driving by your favorite truck store, and I stopped by my favorite dress shop that's right next door, and there's this really cute dress in the window. It's kind of like a really pretty blue. You know, it's the same color as that the queen's dress was, you know, on her birthday. And it was kind of like that same, you know, we went to that seminar about colors, and I'm spring, summer, winter, fall, and I'm like a spring color. And I knew if I bought it and put it on, you'd say, oh, baby, you look so fine in that. And I totally love it when you do that. And you know, it was on sale anyway, so I saved you money. And well, it was kind of like that color that the German, you know, Olympic team was wearing, and those skater girls, and those girls, they had that all black outfit with that blue stripe, and it was like that color of blue, and those girls were skating around. And you remember, it was the race where the girl fell at the very end, and that was like so sad. I mean, 4 years, and then she fell at the very end, and that just reminded me, our kids are going into high school, honey, and what if they fall down in their faith? I'm like so worried about them. Maybe we should stop and pray for the kids. And while we have been talking, he's been frantically jumping boxes, trying to figure out where is this conversation going. And while we think he's praying, what he's really asking is, so what about my truck? So, you know, the goal is to appreciate those differences. My husband likes to quote his favorite philosopher, Rocky Balboa, Rocky movie. And Rocky was working in a pet store, and Adrian's brother walked in and is like, Rocky, what you doing with my sister? And Rocky's like, she's got gaps, I got gaps, we fill each other's gaps. And that's really, really good relationship advice. When we appreciate the opposite gender, you know, Genesis 1 says God made us male and female. Mm-hmm. And it was before the fall, and it was a good plan. Yes. We need each other.
Well, we're going to take a break right here. But when we come back, I want to talk about some of your other books. We'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Imagine yourself being tucked away for a crocodile snack. Or how about facing an injured panther? Read these and 20 more exciting true stories in the book Guide's Greatest Animal Stories. Kids will love these true stories that take them from the jungles of Asia to the backyards of America and point them to the Creator and His love. To order Guide's Greatest Animal Stories, call 1-800-765-6955. That's 1-800-765-6955. A teacher's guide is also available.
Welcome back. I'm talking to Pam Farrell, and you can go to her website. Her and her husband have had this ministry for some time now, Bill and Pam Farrell, and their website is love-wise.com. And we just were finishing up a little segment about men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. And I know I relate to it, and I'm sure our listeners do too, and it really helps you to be more patient. More patient with your husband mm-hmm. if he doesn't have any thought about something that you think mm-hmm. is very important, or maybe he's just sitting there quiet and you ask him, so honey, what are you thinking about? And he says nothing. And you as a woman find that so hard to believe.
Right, right.
Well, now we know we're actually genetically predisposed to be that way.
That's right. Our DNA is different. And, you know, God made them problem solvers, and that we bank on that. Our families yes. need that. That some things need that single focus that only men can bring. So
tell me about some of your other titles. I know one that I think is very important is 10 Questions Kids Ask About Sex.
Right. That's our newest book. And what we found is, you know, we started in youth ministry years ago, but it was a youth pastor of a mega church. And so we started right after our honeymoon working with youth. And we saw then that, you know, parents who are proactive in talking to their kids about intimacy, sexuality, dating, those kids seem to do better and make better choices when parents were more proactive. And all the way from cradle to college, you know, we just have to say, what is our family plan and how are we going to help our kids make good choices all along the way? And so with our own children, you know, when our son Brock was born, I remember holding him on my arms, rocking him. Lord, there seems to be some kids that are, you know, successful at 18 and some seem to stumble and fall. Yeah. What's the difference? And so I wrote down all the leadership qualities and practical traits and attributes that needed to be in this young life by the time that he was 18. And I showed the list to Bill. It was like 100 things long. And I was very overwhelmed and said, all this stuff is supposed to be in our kids by the time they're 18. And he said, well, it looks like there are three main areas. We want our kids to be learners, to have a teachable attitude. We want them to be leaders rather than followers. And we want them to love God. Mm-hmm. Want them to own their own faith. And so we created a family crest off of that that has two hearts on it. It stands for Farrells Keep Their Promises, especially in the area of relationship. And we also have a little cross with a star coming out. That means that every person has a God-given potential. And when you connect to Jesus in a personal way, he helps you reach that potential, that passion, that calling. Mm-hmm. And then we chose a verse that for our family out of 1 Samuel, those who honor God, God honors. And that became like the compass for our family when they're very tiny. And the next question that leads to that is if those two hearts are connected and we want our kids to be able to be quote, love-wise, make keep their promises. Well, what are the promises of God that have to do with the relationships? And how can they be young men that honor God so God can honor them? And what does that look like? And what do they need to learn when they're little, like even preschoolers, about themselves, about their body, about how to treat other people? And, you know, we set out and decided that we wanted to layer the information about love year after year after year into our kids' lives. And even as preschoolers, you know, they're curious about their bodies. And so answering those questions and, you know, you want to, as a parent, you want to try to get things right. And we get really overwhelmed with like, oh, I need to like not mess up my kid with the yes. way that I talk about, you know, intimacy and everything. And so when woman, her little girl was sitting and doing her homework. And the little girl looked up from her homework and said, Mom, how do you make babies? And the mom like, oh, this is the moment. This is the moment. And so she's like, went on and on about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees. And about an hour talking to her little girl. And her little girl's like, oh, and got like really wide eyes, and then just like, okay. And the next day she came home, she's doing her homework again, and she looked up, she's like, oh, Mom, I talked to the teacher and you were wrong. How you make babies is you drop the Y and you add IES. Yeah. So you have to make sure you know what they're really asking. That's step one. Step one is reframe the question.
Yeah.
What do they want to know? And then just give them a little bit of an answer and maybe 10% more, and then see where that goes. And so just layer that information on day after day. And, you know, one of the things as a preschooler that I think is really, really important that will pay off later is if you can teach your child delayed gratification.
Yes.
You know, when they become... You know, the statistics on sex in the church right now are heartbreaking, actually. You know, 80% of young people 18 through 29, according to a recent study by Relevant Magazine, says that they have had premarital sex, those that are unmarried, in the church pews, and 40% currently in a sexual relationship. And so we're missing the ability to help them connect the dots that yes. those who honor God, God honors. And he really wants us to obey all of the promises that are in Scripture. And I think sometimes it goes back to the way we raise our kids early on, delayed gratification, mm-hmm. teaching them that some things are worth waiting for, mm-hmm. and you'll be honored if you have a little bit of patience. You know, there was a marshmallow test where they gave marshmallows, put marshmallows in front of four-year-old kids. And the four-year-old children, they said, if you didn't just wait these few minutes and not eat these marshmallows, when I come back, you can have twice as many. And only a handful were able to wait for the reward just a few minutes later. But those handful of kids, they studied them throughout their whole life. They achieved more. They got more higher grades. They got higher scores on their SATs, more college scholarships. They made better choices in all of life's decisions. And so having your children, even as preschoolers, have to know, honey, I'll get to that. After we make dinner, you can have dessert. Mm-hmm. You know, you can earn part of that money to buy that little toy. That it's a big deal, because later on, when you want your junior higher to make good choices, your high school student and your college student to make good choices in the area of relationships, being able to wait and have patience will and know that they'll be blessed for that, well, is a huge thing.
And parents want the best for their children. And sometimes they think by, you know, trying to immediately satisfy yep. that want of the child, that they're helping that child to have a better life than they had.
Instead, they're making them very narcissistic
yes.
and demanding. And that, so then they get in a dating relationship. They're like, what are you going to do for me?
Mm-hmm.
Where that's not how Jesus loves. Jesus loves is, how can I bring out the best in the other person?
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not Jesus-focused, we can become very eye-centered and narcissistic. So these kids get in relationships in junior high and high school, and they just start demanding from people, and that's why the rape statistics go up,
mm-hmm.
and why we see more premarital sex, and then all the outcomes of that. STDs are on the rise, and, you know, like 1 in 4 young people have a sexually transmitted disease right now, and a lot of those will leave them infertile in the next, you know, mm-hmm. to be able to have kids. And so the next generation, if you add in the abortion statistics with the STI statistics, there'll be fewer children.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should kind of startle us what's going on in our culture. And we, as parents, have to say, all right, well, you know what? I'm not going to give away my ability to teach on intimacy to the media. I'm not going to give it away to the public school system. As a parent, this is my job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to work with the church and with the youth pastors and with other parents and help them band together so we can all help all of our children make good choices all the way through life. In this really vital area.
Yes.
And to do that, when we wrote 10 Questions Kids Ask About Sex, we wrote it so that you could reach up to God, because a lot of people that are parents right now have their own shame and guilt and issues mm-hmm. and baggage. And you have to be able to, like, okay, I'm going to own that, and I'm going to get over it, and I'm going to let God heal my heart,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to talk to my kids, even though I have to confront my own past. It's important enough for me to let God heal my heart so my kids have something better. So reach up to God, and then reach out to other adults, to educators, to parents, to your friends on the soccer sidelines. Help educate them. So we have talking points all the way through the book to help you partner and make good choices so that your child is surrounded by people sharing your value system. And then reach down. We have bullet points that just line out at every age and every stage. What is the kind of information that you want to share that's age appropriate to that child in preschool, as they're going into school, kindergarten, first and second grade, as they head into what I call the oasis of life, when, you know, they have to start knowing how the bodies work, and when menses is coming, preparing that little girl for that, and then on into junior high and high school, when relationships become like so important to kids. Yeah.
So as you wrote the book, had you experienced, had you actually been able to practice some of what you
That's exactly.
wrote?
We didn't write this book until our kids had achieved getting, like our oldest two were married and had lived it out. And we just felt like that was important, the credibility message. Even though we were youth pastors and we had been working with kids, teaching relationship seminars from the very beginning of our marriage relationship, we've taught singles as well as married couples healthy relationship choices. We wanted to practice what we preach at home first. Yeah.
Well,
and our kids have my oldest son have a really sweet, you know, love story. And they both waited to have sex outside of marriage. That was a premium for the our son, Brock, who happened to be introduced to his wife because I did a book signing in her parents' Christian bookstore.
Oh.
And we just connected the kids. They were both at Liberty University at the time. And I got a phone call from Brock, and he said, "Do you remember Hannah?" And I said, "Yeah. Did you ever introduce yourself to her?" He says, "Yeah, we've been dating." And I'm like, "You've been dating? How long?" And he said, 6 weeks. I'm like, 6 weeks? Why didn't you tell me? And he said, because I knew you'd say, you should listen to your mother. Yeah. So they dated for about 18 months. At the end of 18 months, they decided that they were going to take a week to pray. Were they God's will for each other in marriage? And then at the end of that week, Hannah went to Liberty. Brock had a ring design in Los Angeles. He went to Phoenix to ask for her hand in marriage from her folks. And then he went back to Liberty and got a phone call. This eagle has landed. So he picked up the ring and he gave Hannah, he took her out and he gave her a nail at the place they first met. And then he took her to the place they'd have a first deep conversation on a bench and handed her another nail. Then he took her to the chapel that they had first prayed in together, handed her a piece of a board. Then he took her off campus where she shared a home with a friend, handed her another piece of a board. And at this point, he hammered those boards together into the form of a cross, got down on one knee and said, "Hannah, I love you. I want our relationship to start and stay at the foot of the cross. Hannah, will you marry me? Hannah, will you kiss me for the first time?" To which Hannah replied, "Yes, yes." And now they are wonderful parents passing on the legacy of love to our grandchildren. And really, that's what it's all about,
is
passing on that healthy legacy of love, that intimacy, relationships, they're a good thing. They're a gift. And so protect the gift.
Amen.
And how do you do that, mom and dad? Yeah.
What a wonderful way to conclude our show. I've been talking with Pam Farrell from the Bill and Pam Farrell team, international speakers. You can go to their website, love-wise.com. And we were just talking about their latest book called 10 Questions Kids Ask About Sex. But it's so much more than that. Thank you so much for being with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.